Been on it for a few weeks. You probably figured it was going to take a few weeks when the introduction took 3 weeks. But really and truly, this is about reversing the curse. And I want to tell you, there's a curse on the earth. And it wasn't God's idea. Okay, it's a result of Adam's sin. And when Adam sinned in the garden, I want to tell you, there was a curse that came. That's why that your checkbook lies to you sometimes. That's why that, you know, you have trouble with your body this week. You get attacked by germs and viruses and sickness and different kind of things. And the body aches. Their body didn't ache in the garden. There wasn't even any sweat there. Man. But I'm just telling you, when Adam sinned, boy, he betrayed God. The enemy took over, and I want to tell you, the enemy hates you, and he hates everything God's created and God's done. And he came to steal, kill, and destroy. And I want to tell you something. Death came. You know, death wasn't in the garden. It came as a result of the curse. And I want to tell you what's beautiful is that when Jesus went to the cross, he took our curses upon him. That's what the Bible says. On the tree, the one that died on the tree. Our curses were placed upon him. Now, I want to tell you, this is still a world where the enemy's still alive. But I want to announce something to you. Jesus conquered the enemy. And he won back, not for the whole world, but for everybody in the world that will believe. For everybody in the world that will receive him. Every single promise in this word is made true by Jesus. But there's a little qualification here. And it's not like religion preaches. It's not by your report card that allows you to receive. It's simply by your believing. That's the difference between Old Covenant and New Covenant. Old Covenant, you had to, if you didn't do it, it didn't happen. New Covenant, it's not by your doing because Jesus has done it for us, but it's by our believing. And so I want to tell you, the greatest enemy, I'm just going to try to make it clear, I try to make it plain, but the greatest enemy to you walking and me walking, our church walking, your family walking, and everything that Jesus paid for is a couple of things. Number one, we got to know it. That's why we got to get in here. Okay? Because you need to know it. It's not enough that a pastor you know knows it. That's not enough because he can't walk it out for you, okay? This is a personal journey. The Lord knew it's personal, so he gave us a personal coach. It's called Holy Spirit, and he's here 24/7, and he is your personal coach in coaching you how to recognize and see what Jesus has won for you and how to personally apply it to your life. Because I want to tell you, when you accept Jesus, you get everything that he is inside of you. Now, I want to tell you, that's in your spirit. Now, I want to tell you, you are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. Now, I want to tell you something. I would have traded this body in a long time ago, but I want to tell you, there's a promise in this Bible that we're going to get a new body one day. I've already told you, Papa T will be looking good like a man of God should. Hey, it's going to be so wonderful. You'll never get sick, never get tired, never have to cry again. I cried this week. I want to tell you, what a day that'll be, man. We're going to get a glorified body. I got asked out of state the other day, well, why do you think we have to have a new body? I want to tell you, this body can't handle the glory. The glory of all that he is and all that he has for us, this body can't handle it. He's going to give us a galactic body. Yeah, you like superheroes? I want to tell you, we're getting a galactic body. It's going to be a super body. It's going to be one just like his. And I want to tell you, you'll be looking young forever. That's good news. Never be sick, never grow old, never get tired. I don't even think we'll have to take a nap. Maybe for recreation's sake. But I want to tell you, that's a beautiful promise that we're going to have, to never be sick, never ache again. But I want to tell you something. We got beautiful promises, but the greatest hindrance to us receiving is not the enemy, because Jesus conquered the enemy. The Bible is clear that Jesus took away the very power of the enemy to harm us. And so he's limited. Still active. Because I want to tell you something. It's the enemy being active on this earth that allows you to prove what you believe to be really real. Because he designed you for victory. There is no victory without conflict. He designed you to be an overcomer. There is no overcoming unless there's something to overcome. But this is how he proves us. Your faith proves. It's made real. It's made walk. Hey, there are way too many people out there that talk the talk and don't walk the walk. I want to tell you what affects this earth. Why that the disciples were called those that shook the world was because they walked it. They lived it. They didn't just talk it. It's important to talk it. They didn't just talk it, they walked it. Because Jesus, they said this, hey, these are unlearned men, but they walk in the wisdom of God. We can tell that they've been with Jesus. These are men that shook the world, that shake the world. Why? Because the very power of God that was in Jesus is in them. Why? The same Holy Spirit that anointed Jesus to do the works of the Father anoints us to do the work of the Father. I want to tell you, we're living in exciting days. We want to be a church that walks it out. You know what? We don't have to be like everybody else. We don't have to ring the same bell, blow the same horn. But I want to tell you what's important to me is that we have a heart that reflects him. And like Jesus operated on this earth that we've covered in this series, that what Jesus did is our model. He saw what the Father was doing and he did it. He heard what the Father was saying and he said it. And he said, I don't do anything on my own. Man, he didn't promote himself. He promoted Father. Well, we ought to learn something from this. You know, the Holy Spirit doesn't promote himself. He promotes Jesus. And so why is it that one of the biggest accomplishments in some ministries is to promote themselves? I want to tell you, I've told you over and over again, don't you dare go away and brag on me, because you're setting people up to be disappointed. You focus on me, you're going to get offended. But I want to tell you, you go brag on Jesus. You go brag on the love of Jesus. You go brag on the miracles that we see happen. I want to tell you that I'm talking about healing quite a bit in this because Paul referenced it. But I want to tell you, it's not just about healing. It's not just about any kind of manifestation of the Holy Spirit. I want to tell you what it's about. It's about the very presence and love, joy, and peace. That's what the Bible says the kingdom of God results in, manifesting in and through our life. Because I want to tell you, that's going to attract people. People have seen man's ministry and they're not impressed. It's time for them to see the ministry of Jesus. And how dare that when Jesus manifests himself in love and in peace, in joy and power through us, don't you dare claim any credit for it. Would you just honor Jesus enough to say, that's Jesus. And not me, that's Jesus. All right? And let's let the Lord get all honor and glory and watch what God will do when he can trust us with that. I believe it's unlimited because that's the kind of God we serve. Now, in 1974, and I've actually got a note on this. You can tell my wife didn't work on this. Okay. 1974. I'm going to butcher this, and we've had some people that listen in Japan, and so they know I'm going to butcher this. They love me. It's all right. Hiro Anata. I know that's not right, but that's the closest East Texas boy can come. Hiro Anata in 1974. He is an officer in World War II. Imperial forces of Japan in one of the islands of the Philippines. He surrendered in 1974. For 30 years, he had fought World War II. When the war was over for 30 years. But he surrendered to freedom in 1974. They found him in the jungles. They tried to communicate with him, and he still didn't believe the war was over. They had to go to Japan and get his former major to come to the jungle where he was and get on a bullhorn and announce to him that you are released of your command. Your war is ceased. It's over. And you can come out. And when his ruling, reigning officer of that time, at this time he was a librarian, I believe, and so they had to go find him. When he announced, when he heard his former authority announce that the war was over, he believed it. And he came out of the jungle, surrendered his sword to the president of the Philippines. He surrendered. Now I want to tell you, he was amazed when he got back to Japan about how the restoration of Japan, how much had happened in 30 years. It was a country that he didn't recognize. He was amazed by that. And he was definitely enjoying the freedom of not being at war. What he didn't realize was that the war was over. Now I want to tell you, he got pamphlets dropped by airplanes over the jungles that the war's over, you can come out. But he looked at the pamphlets. And the guys that were under his command that were still alive there, they looked at those pamphlets and they said, this is propaganda. This is a lie. We're not going to believe the lie. We're still at war. Now I want to tell you, they survived in the jungle for 30 years. He was the only one left. And had conflict. But I want to tell you something. When he got out and saw that the war had been over for 30 years. This is what he said. I'm kind of embarrassed that I didn't believe the truth. I thought it was a lie. I've been at war all of my life when I could have been enjoying freedom. Now, I want to say something to you, Freedom Life. The war's over. I want to tell you, when Jesus died on the cross, he defeated the powers and the works of darkness. I want to tell you, not only was the forgiveness of our sin paid for, but listen to me, our justification was paid for by Jesus. Our righteousness was paid for by Jesus. And I want to tell you something, the war is over. It doesn't mean that there's not any battles. I want to tell you, there's a beautiful picture of this in the Old Testament when it comes to Joshua. Because I want to tell you, they came over into the promised land and the Lord told them, all of this is yours. I give it to you. It's yours for your possession, but you got to possess it. And this is what he told them. He said, every place that your foot lands is yours. But he gave them a warning, you got to occupy it. Now I want to tell you a sad thought in all this, because that's very exciting. And it's very true. Every place that they went to occupy, the Lord gave them victory. But I'm going to share this with you. There were some places that they didn't occupy. At the end of Joshua's life, there was a statement made by God, there is still land that y'all haven't conquered. I've given it to you, but you haven't possessed it. Now I'm saying to you, body of Christ, here we are on this side of the cross. And I want to tell you, the war's over, but I want to tell you, the Lord has given us the authority and the power, the command, the instruction. He's given us the word, everything that we need, the power of the Holy Spirit in us to occupy anything that the enemy has stolen out of our life. To drive back any curse that was placed on this earth, he's given us the authority to win, because that's what he did. He's given us the authority. Now, it's our responsibility to occupy. It's our responsibility to possess the promises. It's not enough, my friend, for you to hear about it or see it in the Word and say, amen. Hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. And go home and live your life in a normal way. Because that's not possessing the promises. These promises have got to be applied. Don't say, well, I don't know how to do it. No, we have the Holy Spirit as your counselor. He's your coach. He's your teacher. And he'll teach you. And you know what? You got fellow believers that are walking the same journey. Maybe on a little bit different path. But I want to tell you, it's the same faith. Because the greatest danger to a believer in this life is not the enemy. Here it comes. It's unbelief. It's unbelief. We only receive what he's provided by faith. Faith is the bridge. If we don't apply faith, if you don't believe it, you don't receive it. It's not enough to just say amen and go home. You see, it's got to be personally applied. But I want to give you good news. He has provided so much grace for us that we are able to walk in everything that he's paid for. If we get to know what it is and we put our heart to it, we believe it because it's by faith that we receive. It's not by your doing, it's by your believing. It's not by your achieving, it's by your receiving. But I want to tell you that's exciting news because that means it's for everybody. Okay? And it's not for just the super, super strong. It's for all of us. And I'm just going to say it like this. God didn't bring you out not to bring you in. God didn't bring you out not to bring you in. I want to tell you that that's for us. And so the way that we receive is by believing. So don't focus on the curse. There's complete ministries out there and their whole focus is on the curse. Don't focus on the curse. Okay? We're going to identify the curse because you need to know. You need to know the schemes of the enemy. But we don't study the enemy. We don't study darkness. I want to tell you the best way to reverse the curse is receiving the promise. And so receive the promise. It's by believing. That's how we rebuke the curse. Focus on the blessing. And this is the beautiful part even about communion because when we remember, we receive. I know it's possible to go through the motion of communion, and I know churches that do. I preach in some churches that do this. It's just a routine. It's just kind of like a rut and a routine, and they rush through it, and it's over, and they just kind of throw it all together, and, you know, it's for your forgiveness, the blood, and it is, and thank God for that, but there's more to it than that. But I want to tell you something. It's possible not to receive evidence of what communion's all about because it represents the finished works of the cross. It's possible to go through the motion and not receive the blessing. And it's by receiving the blessing that we drive back the curse. And so let's focus on Jesus. This is a strategic message. I know. Sometimes I can tell how strategic a message is by how much attack I get in the process. All right? And I know I'm not pointing to 3 Timothy or anything on this, but I just want to tell you, if you're experiencing resistance in your life from the enemy, I'm not saying you're doing something wrong. Matter of fact, I'm saying you're probably doing something right. I think it's an honor when you come face to face with the enemy, and I want to tell you there's attack and there's battle. It means that, you know what, he considers you a strategy against him and his kingdom. And so I want to tell you, look, I told my little darling wife, you know, if I'm going to do a series on communion and talk about the healing power of God, then I want to tell you something. You better understand that, you know, it's normal. It's normal on this earth to experience resistance when you're walking on new ground. When you start believing God for something, just expect resistance. Don't be the type of person to say, well, you know, the enemy beat me up. Well, look, I'm going to be real honest with you. I felt beat up all week. My little wife's home recovering from feeling beat up right now. But I want to tell you something. Listen, that don't discourage me. Man, when I played ball, I know you don't know what the wishbone is or triple option. But I want to tell you, when it came out, and we were playing that in high school. I was a fullback, and I want to tell you something. In most offenses, you got tackled only when you got the ball. And so if you got the ball 10 times or 15 times in a game, you got tackled 15 times. I want to tell you something. Against the wishbone, they didn't know how to defend it, but one of the things they came up with is that every back gets tackled every play. And so one of the things that happened, every single play as a fullback, I got tackled every play. Now, I want to tell you something. That may not sound like much to you, but on the next day, I'd have to spend every weekend in therapy recovering from game night because I had bruises all over me from getting tackled every play. Now, look, that didn't discourage me because I knew that's the manner of the game. You fight to win. And sometimes in battle, you get bruised. Sometimes in some of the victories, and we had some amazing victories, in some of the victories, I want to tell you something. I had plays and I had series. Well, I got beat up. But I want to tell you something. That don't define the outcome. And so I want to tell you, you may have taken some blows. You may feel like you've been knocked around and spun around and knocked down. But I want to tell you, the Word of God's beautiful. You may fall down seven times, but I want to tell you, it's the Lord that reaches down and pulls you up. You may feel weak. Man, I talk about weakness in this series. I experienced weakness this week. But I want to tell you, in our weakness, in the weakest of your weakest moments, His grace is available to pour forth His strength in the midst of your weakness. He shows forth His strength. And so I want to tell you, we are a people of hope. Somebody say amen. But this is a strategic message. There's sickness all over the earth. We live in an area of DFW where medical centers attract people from all over the world. I don't know if you know that. Do you know that? It's not a sin and it's not condemnation to be sick. I want to tell you what it is. It's an opportunity to believe God. It's an opportunity to remember Him and to receive from Him. And so you want to see it as Jesus being your supply and not your lack. All right? Are you going to focus on the problem? You're going to focus on the promise. It comes down to that. But it's an opportunity to believe God. I want to tell you what you do when you start feeling weak or sick. I want to tell you what you do. You start enjoying Dr. Jesus. Start leaning on Him. Let Jesus have the first word and the last word. I want to tell you how this settled in my heart. And this happened a number of years ago, and it gave me a holy hope. I first got a holy anger, a righteous indignation. But then I had a holy hope come. And it's Psalm 105:37. It says, He brought Israel forth. This is Him bringing them out of Egypt. He brought Israel forth also with silver and gold. And so get this, I've already covered this, but I have to go back over it a little bit because there are people that watch online. This is the first they've heard of it, first they've seen of it. I got to back up a little bit, so that we'll go fast on this. But the day before they came out of Egypt, they were in poverty. They were slaves. The next day, the Egyptians were handing them silver and gold and beautiful ornaments, beautiful clothes for their journeys. The night before, they were sore, tired, hurting. Some of them were sick. Some of them were feeble because slavery is hard on the body. And I want to tell you, the next morning, after the blood being applied, okay, after eating the roasted lamb, that's Jesus. I want to tell you, the next morning, they were all healed. They felt better that day, the next morning, than they'd ever felt. And it's right here. It says there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Among all their tribes. Look, we're talking about a couple million people. Okay? Some say bigger than that. Couple million people, none feeble. No one was limping the next morning. No one was sore and hurting. I like to say it. My wife don't like me to, but I'm going to say it again. There were grandpas chasing grandmas the next morning. That's what happens. The next morning, no pain, no stiffness, no sickness, strength. They were restored to youth. I want to tell you, this is when this really birthed in my heart. Lord, I want what You want. I want what you want for our church. I want what you want for our families. I want what you want for our lives. I want what you want for Freedom Life. And so I've been asking the Lord, you know, Lord, well, you know, if this is available, where has it been? Right there. It's right there. Okay? And so sometimes when I'm ministering at churches and pastors and stuff, and they say, well, you know, my Bible school didn't teach me this, or my seminary, or my church that I grew up in, oh, that's no excuse. Get off of that. Okay? You got the Bible. You got the Holy Spirit, your teacher. I want to tell you, you meet with Jesus and let him teach you. And so what about your past? Where are you going to go now? And how are you going to operate now? And so, now look, I want to tell you what came to me in all this. Well, we have not because we ask not. Can it be that simple? I want to tell you, he made faith simple. I want to tell you how simple he made faith. He gave you his faith to start out with. It's his faith. Hey, by the faith of the Son of God. That's how I live. It's not by my faith. So don't talk about how little your faith is or your faith's not big enough or not. Don't talk like that. Because Peter says he's given us a measure of faith. I want to tell you, I don't know how much that measure is, but that measure is way more than enough. Because Jesus said if it was just like a little mustard seed, I want to tell you, you could see signs and wonders. And so I want to tell you, his faith is good faith. And whatever that measure is, it's more than enough. Somebody say amen to that. And so, you know, we have not because we ask not. Now, I want to tell you, there are people that are not going to dare to ask. But I want to tell you, God loves it when we believe big. I want to tell you what, heaven's waiting on believers to just believe. Ask big. Dare, because he's a big God. He's a great, great Father. And he's a big God, and he's got big plans for us. And he's got all kind of discoveries for us and all kind of journey for us, all kind of things he's destined us to overcome in this journey. And so let's believe big. Are we there yet? No. Am I there in my life? No. If so, I wouldn't have been on my back and my bottom and my knees this week. I'm not there yet, but I want to tell you something. My wife reminded me, you know what? It's been years since I've been on my back. I said, that's pretty good. I want to tell you, if you were playing ball and it had been years since you had a loss, that's some pretty good season of time. And so I want to tell you, there's a lot of victories for us. It doesn't mean that I'm walking in it perfectly. I've never done anything perfectly. Is it true? Is it there for my family? No, but I want it to be. Is it there for our church? No, but we want it to be. I want to tell you something. We've left the line of scrimmage, and I ain't going back. Amen. Okay? I want to tell you. Here's Barbara over here. I want to tell you, this is a woman that knows about the healing power of God. I want to tell you, she believes in God. The man next to her is a result of it. Okay? I want to tell you, she ain't going back. Well, you need to go to her class on Sunday mornings and hear what's coming out of her heart. Because I want to tell you, a lot of faith, a lot of believing coming out of her heart. And I want to tell you, you may not be there, but sometimes I want to tell you, it's amazing in the spiritual realm. It's more caught than taught sometimes. Yeah. It's exciting stuff. I want to tell you, here's Richie here. And I want to tell you something, man. He's convinced. He's seen the healing power of God touch his family. Yeah. I want to tell you, he got a testimony about his mama that you need to hear sometime. But I want to tell you even about his little daughter, Kennedy, that's now a Marine. I want to tell you, she's there, live and living color. Oh, yeah, Uncle Sam, I'm telling you, real deal. Well, I want to tell you, that would have never happened without the healing that grabbed hold of her life just a few years ago. Man, I remember, man, she was on her back, man, couldn't go to school. I'm talking about seizures left and right. Doctors didn't know what to do. I want to tell you, Dr. Jesus touched her and raised her up. And I want to tell you, that's exciting stuff. You see Ruth back there? She's living proof, man. She's living proof. And I want to tell you, say, well, is she coming? No, I'm not. God's not finished with me yet either. He's not finished with Ruth. But I want to tell you something. We've seen the 30 and 60%. I want to tell you, if you get healed 30%, that's a lot of improvement. I want to tell you what the kingdom is. Sometimes I'm telling you it's immediate. I'm seeing Jesus touch people is immediate. There was a case there where he prayed over somebody twice. That means it's all right to keep praying. Now, I want to tell you something. Here's Ruth back here, 30% better. Doctors say 60% better. I want to tell you, if you're 60% healed, you're more aware of healing than you are of a problem. Now, you know the progression of God. This is what's so exciting. Is 30, 60, how about 100-fold? Because that's God's desire and that's God's heart. Let's not settle for less. I'm trying to encourage you a little bit. Man, here's Patrick back here. Man, I want to tell you, years ago, man, in high school, I'm telling you, I was a part of his journey. And I want to tell you, doctors told him what all he'd never do. I want to tell you, he's busted all of that out the window. Everything he's doing now, doctor said he'd never do. Now, I want to tell you, that's why I call him the miracle man. But he knows about the power of God. Here's Lily. Here's Precious One right here. I want to tell you, we're going to get to celebrate Precious One in just a little while. But I want to tell you something. Little Annalise, I want to tell you she's a miracle baby because doctor said it couldn't happen. See, something I know that you don't know because Lily's been my daughter for a long time is that, you know, at one time in her heart, there wasn't even a seed for this. Am I right? I want to tell you, hey, I saw the Lord plant this dream seed in her when people and doctors said it never happened. God can put a dream seed in you. And that dream seed in you, he creates a hope. And with that hope, faith comes. And when faith comes, I want to tell you, you can birth a miracle in your life. Okay? That's just like the Lord. And little Annalise is that. Man, I want to tell you, I told her mama this morning, it's part of her testimony is going to be part of her ministry. Don't look shocked. Yours is too. Hey, we're supposed to be living epistles. What does Jesus look like according to your life? That's what the world needs to see. And so here we go. What I'm trying to say to you is that there's some resistance in all this. That's okay. You know, if this is not where you are and what the Lord's saying to you about the healing part, then I want to tell you the same principles of freedom and promise that the Lord puts in the Word is not just for your healing, it's for your provision. Maybe that's your area of need right now is provision. Maybe the area of your need is not provision or not healing. Maybe it's a relationship. I want to tell you the same power, promise of God to be the unlimited supply in your life for other areas is for your relationships too. He wants to bless that. How about your business? How about finances? I want to tell you, that's the Lord. Wait, Pastor, I got an addiction that I can't seem to shake. Well, I want to tell you, the very power and the promise of Jesus Christ in your life has come to set you free from the power of addiction. His power is greater, and he loves to set us free. That's how big God is. He loves to do that. And so I'm just asking you, when we come to communion, let it be a union with Jesus. Let it be an expression of faith. The way that we approach the Lord in a worthy way it's just to honor him in your heart. Same way when you take this word. You know, there are people that pick up the Bible every day and they approach the Lord in an unworthy manner because they're just looking, oh, okay, I got to read this scripture. I get this scripture done. I can get on with my life. I can check that box. That's not approaching the Lord in a worthy manner. That's disesteeming the Lord. It's not a scripture a day that's going to set you free. It's an encounter with Jesus that's going to set you free. And so I want to tell you, it makes a difference when you approach the Word in a worthy manner. Lord, I humble myself before you. Lord, I want to see you. Holy Spirit, come and show me Jesus in this Word. I want to know you, Lord. Now you approach the Lord like that, and you'll see him in the Word. When you focus on Jesus in the Word, guess what? You see what you focus on. Hey, it's the same thing about prayer. There are people that got, and I don't have anything wrong with prayers that are repeated. I mean, we do a confession of faith every week, and we ask you to repeat it. But I want to tell you, it's not the repeating of the words. It's connecting. Connecting with those words to Jesus. See, that's what prayer is. It's connecting. See, that's approaching the Lord in a worthy manner. if you approach prayer like it's some kind of genie or something. Okay, if I say this, God's got to do it. No, my friend. It's not about the repeating of the word. It's about connecting with Jesus. And so he wants you to pray, yes. He wants you to share your heart with him because he wants you to hear his heart. He wants there to be union. When you come to communion, it's not, well, I got to take this cracker and I got to drink this and I'll get that done and I'll be over. No, no, my friend. Please, I'm just telling you, let your communion be a union with him. When you take the cracker, when you take that bread, remember that he said, remember, hey, the way we receive is by remembering. And so when you hold that bread, you think, Jesus, your body was broken for my restoration, for healing on the inside and outside. Lord, you suffered in order for me to be healed. You said, by your stripes I am healed. And so you focus on him, not on you. And I want to tell you, by focusing on you, you can pervert anything that God has. Because don't make it about you. Make it about him. You see, the real key about supply is seeing Jesus as your answer. Man, I told a major ministry that we helped out just about 2 years ago, about $7,000. And I want to tell you, when the Lord told me this $7,000 is going to them, when I called them, they said, how did you know we were in crisis? We're in crisis this week. I said, well, the Lord put it on my heart. They said, well, we need to know because, boy, we got in a mess. And I said, I want to tell you, here's the secret. It's not focusing on the lack, focusing on the supply. Okay, look, we're not a big church with a bunch of banks. Somebody asked me, how many white collars you got? I don't know if we got any. If you're a white collar, don't let me offend you. They said, oh, you bunch of blue collars. No, we're a bunch of no collars. Well, how do you raise money like you do? We don't raise money. We receive it. The same way you have to. Same way you have to. The same way anything we got to face. It's by faith. Because his grace is provided. Do you see this? And so I'm telling you, the secret to all of this is seeing Jesus as the answer to your need, because on the cross he paid for it. Now, don't throw a Bible at me for believing big. I'm going to warn you about a couple things. It's okay to warn. The Bible said I could. I got to warn you about a couple things. You'll never rise above your leadership. One of the reasons why I celebrate the school that we have is because I respect the leadership. I'm at peace about what's happening at the school because I'm at peace about the leadership. As go your leadership, so goes you. Oh, you want to think business? It's true in business too. You want to think in church life? It's true in church life too. Be aware, you'll never go above your leadership. Hey, it's the same for your family, my friend. Hey, parents, you'll never go above your leadership. Amen, Brother Tim. Thank you for preaching, Brother Tim. That was good. Yeah, amen. That's all right. I preach myself happy. It's all right with me. But listen, I'm just going to share this with you. This is a picture for us. There's a whole generation whose bones bleached in the desert. You know why? Because of unbelief of leadership. They had three that believed, and the rest of them did not. And those unbelieving leaders robbed a whole generation of promised land. They died in the desert. Your leadership can lead you to inherit God's promises or refuse God's promises. Pray for your leadership. I want to tell you, anything that's happening in the church world the last few months, it ought to encourage you, pray for your leadership. I'll confess to you, I confessed this in San Diego the other day when I was sharing, is that I'm a mess. I'm a mess. I confess to you, I'm a mess. Let me go ahead. Oh, yeah, Brother Tim, well, I bragged on you too. I said, our church is a mess too. Okay? That's why the theme of excellence this year comes from a deep desire in me for us to be more like Jesus. I know I'm a mess. I want to be more like him and less like me. By far, we're not a perfect church. We don't get accused of that. But I want to tell you what we need and what we want is to reflect Him. And that's the life of Jesus, the power of Jesus, the peace of Jesus, the love of Jesus. I was sharing with a pastor. I was encouraging a pastor on the East Coast this week. It didn't happen until Friday. I didn't get on the phone until Friday. But I was sharing with him, and he told me, he said, "I don't understand, Pastor." He said, "I'm standing for the Word. I'm standing in faith." He said, we stand against sin and for Jesus. And he said, "Man, sometimes the numbers are so low." And he said, "There's a church right on the other side of town." And he said, "I just got through visiting with the pastor. They're having multiple services." And I asked him, he asked this pastor, "How do you get people to come?" He said, "Well, I'm going to just shoot straight with you." He said, "We got the best music in town. And it ain't a coffee shop nowhere that's got better coffee and better donuts than we do. We bring them in with good music and good food." And the brother I was sharing with, he said, I asked him, "Well, do you take a stand against sin?" And he said, "No, we got a lot better things to talk about than sin." Now, I want to tell you something. See, Martin Luther, great grace, many years ago, addressed this when he said, "The churches that don't believe are the ones that the enemy are pleased with." He said, "It's the churches that believe that the enemy resists." And so I'm just telling you, it's okay if there's some resistance. You know what? If you're not there right now, it's not a test of fellowship. But I'm just encouraging you. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you about believing God for more. Believe God for more. Listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. If under the old covenant, this verse I read to you, if under the old covenant they can receive financial provision and they can receive divine health under the old covenant, hey, we can receive divine health and divine provision because we're under the covenant of much more grace. Our loving Father can manifest His favor and blessing and protection under the new covenant that is made true to us by His Son and the finished works of the cross, because now we have a better covenant with better promises and a better relationship with God than they had in the Old Testament. So be it. We're not blessed by the temporary weak blood of bulls and goats. We're positioned in the righteousness of God in Christ by holy blood, royal blood, the blood of the Lamb of God. And His promises are now our birthright when you receive Him. They're your birthright. Well, better health, better provision. Wait a minute. Better protection. Let's believe God for His best. Let's trust in the Lord. I'm going to try to cover this in about 50 seconds. And so hang with me real fast. When I first became acquainted with church life, after I'd received Christ early on, and when I first heard about the Lord's Supper, see, I didn't know what it was all about, but I'm watching it take place, and I'm watching the pastor get up and warn everybody, "You better be careful. Don't you dare. Take this. If there's sin in your life, judgment's going to come on your life." Well, man, when I heard that, I said, "My mama didn't raise no fool. I ain't taking it." Well, bad thing going to happen to me. I skipped that portion. No thank you. And even if I couldn't think of one, which I usually could, and a number of them, even if I couldn't think of sin, I didn't want to take the risk there. I want to tell you something about Jesus, okay? Listen to Jesus. We all know John 3:16. John 3:17 says He didn't come to condemn the world. He didn't come to judge the world. He came as a Savior, not a judge. This whole world will be judged one day, but He's our Savior. And He wants you to know Him as Savior. And when there's condemnation teaching in just about every arena I know, But condemnation teaching, and you got to catch this, condemnation teaching will cause you to miss blessing that Jesus has designed for you. And because what happens is condemnation religion will put a fence around a blessing and say, you're not worthy. Now you listen real carefully to this because this is deep in my heart. The very reason Jesus came was for the sick. The very reason Jesus came was for sinners. The very reason Jesus came was for the unworthy, because they know they're a mess. The sick need Dr. Jesus. The sinner needs Savior, needs forgiveness. Jesus said he came for those who know, who admit, who are honest that they have a need. The Pharisees knew more Bible than you do. The Pharisees fasted more than you do. The Pharisees tithed more than you do. But I want to tell you something. They didn't receive the grace touch of Jesus. They could have, but their self-righteousness kept them from it. They considered themselves holy already, and everybody else was down the ladder. Well, I want to tell you, that'll cause you to miss. What the Bible says is discern the Lord's body and don't take it unworthily. That's easy to do. All you got to do is esteem the Lord. Unworthily does not equate to an unworthy person. I've got Renee here. She's an expert in this. I'm not. But an unworthy manner is an adverb. It modifies that action, not the actor. God's not addressing an unworthy person. He's speaking to an unworthy action. If we take in an unworthy manner is what he's saying. If we take in an unworthy manner, not discerning the benefits of the truth of Jesus, we can miss it. He don't want us to miss it. Hear his heart. We'll reverse the curse of sickness on this planet by receiving the truth of Jesus by faith. Receive the blessing. By faith, we receive the healing and protection. We push back the curse. That's God's heart for us. That's all I got time for today. I want to cover some more. But I want to tell you something. It's just real, real important. Man, So then whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup, this is 1 Corinthians 11:27. Whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in a way that is unworthy of him will be guilty of the body and the blood of Jesus. All right? It means you refuse the blessing. Now I want to tell you, we're going to get into it next week about how messed up the Corinthian church was. But I want to tell you, say, well, Brother Tim, we're not doing that. That's not how they started. How they ended is not how they started. It started here. In their mind, disesteeming the Lord's desire for us to remember Him and receive. Simple. Saints, keep it simple. Keep it simple, saints. Remember Him and receive. Let's do that right now. Take your elements. Take the bread. Lord Jesus, we recognize You. We're thankful for You. Lord, we humble ourselves before Your works, before Your heart for us. Thank You that You suffered for our benefit, that by Your stripes we're healed. Thank You that all of our sin was poured out on You on the cross, that we can become what You are. You took what we are so we could become what You are. Forgiven. We're healed. We're set free. We receive Your life. We receive Your restoration. We receive Your renewal. Thank You, Lord Jesus, that by this bread we remember Your body and remember Your heart for us, and we receive it by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord Jesus, thank You for the power of Your blood, that by Your blood we're completely and totally forgiven. By Your blood that we have Your justification. We have Your gift of righteousness, that You have paid for our sins once and for all, that we've been given the gift of who You are in our life, everlasting life. We give You praise and we celebrate that by your death is our victory. Our victory in this life forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's salute the Lord. Let's give the Lord praise. Let's give the Lord honor. Wow.